Today on the Jefferson Exchange, a report from KQED on California's Proposition 50 special election.
This is a California report. I'm Adi Bolaños with an election special on Proposition 50, California Divided.
I know I live in a blue dot. I want to live in a blue district, too.
If we get a representative here who is representing Los Angeles, she's not going to be used to our lifestyles. And we need someone who knows who we are.
On November 4th, Californians will decide on a ballot measure that could reshape how our state is represented in Congress. Proposition 50 would redraw California's congressional district lines in response to Texas's partisan redistricting, which President Donald Trump encouraged.
I won Texas. I got the highest vote in the history of Texas, as you probably know. And we are entitled to 5 more seats.
Governor Gavin Newsom pushed back and proposed Californians redraw our congressional maps in response.
Open your eyes to what is going on in the United States of America in 2025.
If Prop 50 passes, Newsom hopes that Democrats win 5 more congressional seats. But when something's gained, often something's lost. Today, we're taking you around the state to communities that could be redrawn if Prop 50 passes. And we'll hear what voters there hope to win and what they fear they'll lose. But first, how did we get here?
Okay, I'm going to try to explain how redistricting works, so maybe take that sip of coffee now.
That's KQED's politics correspondent Guy Marzorati, who's going to tell us how we got to Prop 50 and this special election. Hey, Guy.
Hey.
So we typically vote in even-numbered years. Why are we voting in 2025 on a redistricting plan?
Yeah, this is out of the ordinary. When you talk about redistricting, changing political lines based on population changes, that usually happens at the beginning of the decade, right? We take a census, we figure out the population, we draw new lines. This process is different this year, and it really started in Texas, where President Trump went to Republicans there and said, I want you to redraw your congressional maps to help Republicans pick up 5 seats. That's when Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrats here in California, responded and said, okay, we should redraw our lines to help Democrats pick up 5 seats. And so the legislature voted to put this on the ballot in front of voters. And the reason they did that is because California currently has an independent citizens commission that draws political maps. Voters would have to decide to put that power in the hands of the state legislature instead.
Okay, so tell me more about how Prop 50 helps Democrats. What's the strategy here?
Right. So the state legislature, Democrats there, voted on a map that helps Democrats in 2 ways. One, by trying to flip seats currently held by Republicans. So taking Democratic voters in places like Sonoma, for example, Sacramento, and moving them into districts that are currently represented by Republicans. The map also protects Democrats who are currently in Congress by making their districts less competitive, giving them an easier chance to win re-election. And so if Prop 50 passes, these changes would be in effect for the 2026, 2028, and 2030 elections.
And now that we're down to the last week of the campaign, what are the closing arguments from both sides?
Right. So the Yes on 50 campaign led by Governor Newsom had said this is needed to combat what's happening in Texas and really push back against Trump. A lot of the pro-Prop 50 messaging has been about, you know, sticking it to Trump, pushing back against the president and Republicans in Washington, versus the No on 50 campaign is really focused on trying to uplift our current Citizens Commission. They say this is the best way to draw lines. It's nonpartisan and we should keep it the way we have it.
Awesome. Thanks, Guy.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start in Lake Tahoe, which is located in what's now the 3rd Congressional District. Tahoe is a blue dot in a solidly red district that stretches all the way down to Death Valley. Cap Radio's Laura Fitzgerald reports some residents, who are Democrats, hope the new lines could finally give them a louder voice.
I'm on postcard number 175.
Teammate Duggan is at her home office, going through a stack of handwritten postcards. She's mailing them to voters all across the state, urging them to vote yes on Proposition 50. Her house is just blocks from Lake Tahoe. Duggan has lived here for 48 years, and she's no stranger to Democratic organizing. But she says the local energy around Prop 50 feels different.
Can you imagine if we had another vote in Congress for things for our community that didn't involve the lake? I'm very concerned about keeping Tahoe blue, but we also need more housing.
Duggan says Tahoe struggles with a lot of the same things other California communities do. Lack of housing, workforce shortages, and the high cost of living. She wants a representative who will deliver on these things too. And she says she wants to feel like she's part of California, the part that reflects her values.
I know I live in a blue dot. I want to live in a blue district too.
Duggan could get her wish if Prop 50 passes. Tahoe sits in California's 3rd congressional district, one of the 5 that would be redrawn to favor Democrats. The district's had a Republican representative in Congress for decades. But this mountain community that draws outdoor lovers and tourists year-round has long voted blue. And the chance to help flip the House has energized local Democrats.
Hi there. My name is Zeb. I'm a volunteer for the California Democratic Party. We're canvassing for Prop 50.
Zeb Blaze lives in Truckee. He's a mountaineering guide who runs his own business for outdoor excursions. But today, he's knocking on doors to turn out voters for Prop 50. As a Democrat, he wants a representative who will stand up to President Donald Trump on immigration and other national issues. He also wants them to show up locally.
Our representation in this area has been really poor for a long, long time. District 3 in California is, you know, well over 200 miles long, and our current representative uses that as an excuse to not hold town meetings.
Oh, nothing could be further from the truth.
That's Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley, who represents the district.
I've took questions of all kinds, from people who agree with me on things, with people who disagree with me on things.
Kiley says he also holds virtual town halls to accommodate his district's sweeping size. Some folks in Tahoe say it isn't really about Democrat versus Republican when it comes to who represents them in Washington.
There's just a disconnect between an understanding of what happens on the ground in the rural areas of the Sierra Nevada that are part of this district.
Courtney Henderson sits on the Truckee Town Council, and she's the former mayor. She says she wishes representatives would focus on the region's unique challenges, things like wildfires, skyrocketing insurance rates, and rural access to health care.
I mean, I think the cuts to the U.S. Forest Service do not serve this area. I think no matter what the boundary looks like or who that representative is, they have to have deep working knowledge of what happens on the ground and in rural communities, and a lot of this district is very rural.
Henderson says that hasn't been the case with Tahoe's current representative. Whether or not District 3 is redrawn, she hopes the region's next elected leader will spend more time getting to know the rural Sierra Nevada. For the California Report, I'm Laura Fitzgerald in Truckee.
While the voters in Tahoe hope to win more political clout with the passage of Prop 50, rural voters are concerned that they'll end up the losers. In the Central Valley, some farmers are worried redistricting could cost them their longtime Republican Congressman David Valadao. KVPR's Carrie Klein brings us this report from Bakersfield.
Charles Meyer grows a cornucopia of crops on his 1,500 acres in Stratford in Kings County.
We're growing wheat, we're growing alfalfa, we're growing almonds, we're growing pistachios.
But this third-generation farmer has a clear favorite. He plucks a white puffball off a short brown stalk.
This is Pima cotton. This is very high-quality fiber.
Kings County is one of 3 agricultural counties that make up District 22, represented by Republican Congressman David Valadao. Dairy farms, vineyards, and tidy rows of tomatoes bring in billions of dollars a year here and provide tens of thousands of jobs. It's a point of pride for Meyer.
Well, you become attached to the ground. It's like our boys in the military. They give their life for the country. We feel about our ground about like that.
Meyer wants elected leaders who feel that way, too, like Valadao, who used to be a dairy farmer. He was first elected to Congress in 2012, but he's in danger of losing his seat. If voters approve Prop 50 next month, District 22 would stretch out almost twice as long in order to gain Democratic voters from neighboring counties and give Democrats a better shot at winning. And Meyer does not support that.
I don't want anything that would help Democrats gain power.
That's because California Democrats have pushed a slew of environmental regulations aimed at protecting air, water, and ecosystems. They also restrict things like groundwater and fertilizer use. Meyer calls that regulatory overreach, and he blames Democrats for rising farming costs and slumping profits.
When they gain power, negative things happen.
It's a common opinion. Signs reading "Vote No on Prop 50" line Kings County's highways, alongside banners to recall Democratic Governor Newsom. A few miles away, in Hanford, Doug Verboon doesn't like Prop 50 either. He's a farmer harvesting walnuts.
So that was a gondola unloading walnuts into an elevator, putting it into an 18-wheeler to take it to the walnut processing plant.
Verboon is also a county supervisor and a Republican. He and other supervisors have formally opposed partisan redistricting that would change district maps through the next three election cycles. They say it unfairly bypasses the Independent State Commission that draws district lines.
We do it every 10 years, and we have a process in place that works.
He says gerrymandering isn't just about who controls the House. He says Congress matters here. The feds pass laws that can influence exports, trade decisions, and water flows that determine farmer incomes.
We want our congressmen and our senators to promote agriculture in Central California. We need someone that understands it that doesn't have to have it explained to them.
But many Democrats, however, support the new map, like Carla Orozco. She's a retired science teacher holding up a sign in nearby Lemoore.
My sign says, yes, I'm Prop 50, temporary maps.
It's a bright Friday morning. Orozco is part of a, quote, bridge brigade that hangs signs on overpasses throughout Kings County. None of the dozen volunteers here today are farmers. They're angry that Valadao hasn't hosted an in-person town hall in more than a year, and that he voted to cut Medicaid, even though he said he wouldn't, and two-thirds of his constituents rely on it.
And that's going to wake a lot of people up when the healthcare premiums go up.
She hopes voters will come out and do the right thing in the election next month. There's just no clear consensus here on what the right thing is.
Northeast San Diego County has been turning purple in the last decade, but unseating the Republican Congressman Daryl Issa hasn't been easy. He won by 20 points in the 2024 election. Now, Democratic Party canvassers believe passing Prop 50 could give them a better shot in the midterms. KPBS reporter Jake Gatta hits the pavement and brings us this report.
Andy McNew is spending her weekends knocking on doors and talking to voters.
Hi, Catherine? Hi, Catherine. My name is Andy. I'm a volunteer with the San Diego County Democratic Party, and we're out here talking to voters about the upcoming special election. You know about it?
Oh, yes,
I do. Okay.
She's explaining Prop 50. It asks California voters to approve new congressional maps before the 2026 midterm elections. The new maps would target Republican-held congressional seats. Governor Newsom said this is in response to Republicans in Texas redrawing their maps to target Democrats. But in San Diego's North County, it would reshape the political landscape. Many people there feel left behind by both major parties. And it's leading to investment in places that activists say have been overlooked for a long time.
Got it. My name's Andy. I'm a volunteer with the San Diego County Democratic Party.
We're all going to vote yes on that.
So you're going to vote yes on
good.
That.
We're good.
Okay, can I leave this for you?
Four out of San Diego's five congressional seats are held by Democrats. But in the rural Northeast, Republicans have a winning streak that spans two decades. The current map gives Republicans a double-digit advantage in the 48th district in this area. And Congressman Daryl Issa, who represented some part of San Diego County for most of the past 25 years, won easily last year. But these neighborhoods aren't as red as some might think.
When people find out that they actually have Democrats or like-minded people as their neighbors, they're surprised. Because while the MAGA people are loud with their flags and stuff, you know, it kind of keeps Democrats afraid and scared, and they shouldn't be scared.
Meanwhile, in the rural Fallbrook area, organizers are also trying to reach voters. Julie Martinez is an organizer with the Fallbrook Democratic Club. She says Prop 50 is giving Democrats hope.
We actually, with Prop 50, have the opportunity to have representation in North County by a Democrat. And it's not just a Democrat, it's somebody who will respond to the community.
She's helped win elections in places that you wouldn't expect. She says that's because of how they reach voters, and one way is by speaking their language.
50% of our Democratic base here is of Hispanic and or Indigenous. So maybe in the past, their needs and their wants and their voices have not been addressed, but Fallbrook Democratic Club is working to change that.
Julie Diaz Martinez, our organizer here, is one of the best in the county. She is really putting a lot of effort into the Latino community, particularly the Spanish-speaking Latino community. So she was very insistent that we make sure as a county party that we are producing our lit in both English and Spanish and also other languages as well.
Will Rodriguez Kennedy is the new chair of the San Diego County Democratic Party.
He says it's all about reaching all voters everywhere in the county.
It shows those voters that we're actually thinking about them. So we're not, it's not just, you know, we come in with our English lit and they just happen to be there. We're actually intentionally reaching out to them.
And we do get a lot of thank yous. We get people telling us that in the entire 20 years or so that they've lived in this community, no one has ever given them any voter information in their native language of Spanish. So I see that as a huge success.
When Prop 50 is decided, it could give Democrats an upper hand in places that have historically been Republican strongholds. But for now, it's showing that nowhere is quite as black and white or blue and red as we might think. For the California Report, I'm Jay Gatta in San Diego.
And you're listening to a California Report special on Prop 50, California Divided.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're featuring KQED's special report on California's Proposition 50. If passed, it would temporarily suspend the state's current voting maps and put in place new congressional district maps favoring Democrats. The purpose of the measure is to help offset partisan redistricting efforts in Texas and other red states.
Welcome back to California Divided, a special on Proposition 50. I'm Madi Bolaños.
California's 1st Congressional District is the state's largest by geography. It stretches from Modoc County in the northeast corner of the state to the Klamath National Forest in the west and all the way south to the city of Chico. What binds many of the communities together is their economy. They depend on natural resources, you know, cattle ranching and logging. But if Prop 50 passes, that would change. The new congressional map would essentially sever the district in half. Modoc and other more conservative rural counties would be grouped with coastal communities like Humboldt, Sonoma, and Marin counties, districts that lean heavily Democratic, leaving some worried that it would weaken their rural vote. We're going to visit two communities in this humongous district. Jefferson Public Radio's Roman Battaglia starts us off in Modoc County.
Modoc is the third least populated county in the state. That is, unless you count the number of cattle roaming the rangeland, which outnumber people 6-1.
I mean, if our cattle could vote, we'd be doing well, right? You know?
That's Jerry Byrne, a rancher and county supervisor.
We're big cattle country here.
Modoc sits in a congressional district that was created to include counties that depend on natural resources, like ranching, timber, and farming. Under Prop 50, that would change. Modoc would still be clustered with Siskiyou and Shasta counties, but it'll be in the same congressional district as Marin County on the coast. Valerie Coe is an artist and rancher who moved here in the 90s. She's concerned that Modoc will be forgotten in the proposed congressional district. Coe says she likes Doug LaMalfa, her current congressperson.
The representation we have now is a gentleman who is a farmer himself, and so he understands the challenges we face in agriculture.
While there are agricultural communities on the Northern California coast, they have different priorities than those inland. Ranchers in Modoc are concerned about wolves attacking livestock. The endangered gray wolf has been slowly recovering in California, and almost all of them are concentrated in the 1st Congressional District. This year, there have been at least 46 confirmed livestock deaths from wolves up through June.
The congressman that would be our congressman if this new redistricting, he sees nothing wrong with the wolves.
That's Jerry Byrne again, the county supervisor. She's talking about Jared Huffman, the Democratic congressman from District 2. If Prop 50 passes, Democrats hope he'll be the new representative.
You know, he doesn't get what's going on the ground in rural areas at all.
Huffman is not a farmer. He says he knows that people might be worried about some urban elite who doesn't understand rural issues.
I've got to take the time and make the effort to humanize myself to show that I do care. I'm not some caricature of an urban elite that knows nothing about rural America.
It could be that ranchers in Modoc have reason to be concerned. Huffman says delisting the wolves in the near term is unrealistic and undermines viable, non-lethal solutions for protecting cattle from wolf attacks. But Huffman says he's not ideological and is eager to find common ground with ranchers on this issue. Now we'll go to Chico, part of the new District 1 that will include the Democratic bastion of Santa Rosa. North State Public Radio's Serena Grossi picks it up from there.
Chico is a bright blue dot in a sea of red. About 42% of registered voters in the city are Democrats, compared to only 28% registered Republicans. If Prop 50 is approved, Chico would stay in District 1, but it would be severed from the conservative strongholds in other parts of the North State, like Redding.
You might hate Trump, and I can't argue with you that, but you're really cutting off your nose to spite your face.
That's Walt Stile. He was at his local post office in Chico. If the ballot measure passes, Chico would be in the same district as Santa Rosa in the Bay Area. In the 2024 election, both cities voted for Kamala Harris and agreed on 7 out of the 10 propositions on the ballot. But Stiles said political affinity doesn't equal a connection.
I don't think people in Santa Rosa even know where Chico is. They probably think that's where the prison is.
Stiles says he doesn't think people in Santa Rosa care about issues that Chico faces, like flooding from the Sacramento River. He doubts that voters in the Bay Area would vote for a congressional representative from Chico.
By voting yes on 50, you lose all your local representation.
Denise Katsikas is a Chico resident. When she thinks of Santa Rosa, her first thought is fancy wineries and wealth.
I'm closer to being evicted from my home that's not paid off than I am to being a billionaire.
While politically aligned, Chico faces nearly 2 times the poverty rate of Santa Rosa. Katsikas acknowledges the difference in demographics, but has voted in favor of Prop 50 nonetheless. She says it's an emergency tactic to respond to President Trump's power grab. And Katsikas holds out hope that voters in the new map can find common ground.
Whether you're working at McDonald's in Santa Rosa or Oroville, you're still struggling.
Katsikas says that if Prop 50 passes, she wouldn't mind if she's represented by someone in Santa Rosa, as long as democracy is preserved. For the California Report, I'm Serena Grossi.
And at the top of the report, we heard from Roman Battaglia from Jefferson Public Radio. Our final stop, Southern California, to a little city called Norco. It's in Riverside County, and it's known locally as Horsetown, USA.
They're going to snort a lot while they're eating.
Life in Norco is built around horses, and many people in this heavily Republican area worry that redrawing district lines would erase that. KBCR's Madison Ahmet reports.
Don Pettinger rides his reddish-brown horse, Rusty, through his neighborhood.
This is one of our many trails that we just can come ride on.
The sidewalks here are horse trails, and we talk on horseback.
Oh, look, you're even trotting. Look at you.
My horse, Smokey, is one of 3 that Pettinger keeps at his house.
Our lot is 3/4 acre.
Back at his property, Pettinger gazes out at his red barn and muses about his little city.
What does Norco stand for? It stands for the equestrian lifestyle. We stand for being able to get our horse and go ride.
This is what Pettinger and many others in Norco worry they'll lose if Prop 50 passes. That's because Norco would be thrown into a different district, one that's solidly Democratic and urban.
If we get a representative here who is representing Los Angeles or Pomona, she's not going to be used to our lifestyles. And as we need someone who knows who we are.
Norco's current congressman, Republican Ken Calvert, does. He comes from one town over. He's represented Norco, that's part of District 41, for more than 3 decades. Pettinger abhors the idea of Prop 50 taking Calvert away.
It's a power grab by the governor and the state trying to help control Congress for whoever might control the White House next, and it's not right.
Calvert has served on the House Appropriations Committee for more than a decade. Norco City Council member Kevin Bash says over the years, the congressman has delivered funding to the region for big infrastructure projects.
He built 2 bridges for us. He's put together recycled water treatment plant to help the Navy, to help our lake.
Like Pettinger, Bash also worries that a Democrat won't get Norco what it needs. When pushed on why, he and many other Republicans in town turn the conversation away from Congress and focus instead on state policies, where Democrats hold the power.
Our biggest enemy is the state of California.
For example, they say state policies that require high-density housing threaten Norco's way of life. And they don't like Governor Newsom or his Prop 50.
17-inch saddle and a quarter horse is in barrels.
At the Thrifty Horse Tax Store on Norco's Main Street, Erica Helsley echoes how many in town feel about the governor.
In my opinion, he's a flat-out idiot that is in it for himself and not the people he is elected to represent.
But many Democrats here see Prop 50's new map as an opportunity to get rid of Calvert. Joy Silver, who's with Riverside County's Democratic Party, says after 30-some years, it's about time.
Ken Calvert, I think, is just, he's one of those guys who touts the party line.
She says a lot of Democrats don't like that he voted to cut Medicaid or his hardline stance on immigration. And she says,
he is notorious for not showing up and having town halls.
The last one was held over the phone 8 years ago, according to Calvert's website. That doesn't matter much to Don Pettinger as he tosses feed to his 8 chickens. Even though there's no sign that Congress would come for his horse trails, he still worries about the changes Prop 50's new map would stir up for Norco.
Let us be Horsetown, USA. Let us be.
He says he'd rather ride Trusty Rusty than a wave of change. For the California Report, I'm Madison Ament in Norco.
That's it for our special on Prop 50, California Divided. This show was a collaboration between the California Report and the California Newsroom, a group of more than a dozen public media news outlets around the state. It was produced by Queena Kim, Angela Corral, and Keith Mizuguchi.
Our editors were Amy Isaacson, Mike Kessler, Queena Kim, Claire Morgan, and Molly Solomon. Special thanks to Jefferson Public Radio in Ashland, Oregon, North State Public Radio in Chico, Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, KVPR in the Central Valley, KVCR in San Bernardino, KPBS in San Diego, and KQED in San Francisco. I'm Madi Bolaños. Thank you for listening.
That was KQED's special report on California's Prop 50. Now we'll feature a segment of Marketplace Tech from American Public Media's Nova Safa.
The man behind Wikipedia as we know it talks division and rebuilding trust. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Nova Safa. In his new book, The Seven Rules of Trust, Wikipedia co-founder Jimmy Wales writes, "In the early years of the internet, we were right to be bullish about people and the technology. Our capacity for social connection, community, and cooperation can deliver amazing things, but the very same human nature can deliver atrocities." Wales' book is subtitled A Blueprint for Building Things That Last, and he says he wrote it to help combat a crisis of trust in society that is leading to the rise of authoritarianism. I asked him about the main lessons he learned from building Wikipedia into a highly relied upon source of information.
You know, for me, one of the things to recognize is that Wikipedia is really built on trust. You know, anyone can come and join us, and that's a very open process, and you can edit pages without even logging in. And, you know, that extending trust to the general public has always seemed a little bit shocking, but it's particularly shocking to realize this if you contrast that with kind of the toxicity of social media and, you know, a lot of the trolling and everything else that goes on online. It's sort of important to understand, like, oh, how does that work? How do you harness and encourage the good in people?
I mean, you say building trust and reputation through transparency, honesty is how you do it. Doing what you say you will in business. And when you see how companies are kind of operating today, how they're being built, new companies, how AI is developing, do you have a sense of confidence or a sense of concern?
I mean, I think every company is different. I do think young founders should really think a lot about trust in their early days, because too often startups, they don't really think about it until something bad has happened. And then they realize, like, oh, actually, now we've got a problem. I tell the story in the book of Airbnb, who, you know, as a company, they went through a real crisis of trust early on when a woman rented her apartment out on Airbnb and the tenants trashed the place. And they didn't really respond very well. And they hadn't really thought it through and taken it seriously enough. And they basically just stopped everything and said, hold on, like, we won't have a business. If people think if you rent your apartment on Airbnb, it's going to get destroyed, that's going to be the death of us. And so they realized then, okay, wait, hold on, we really have to take this trust thing very seriously.
You know, all these stories you tell in the book, all leading up to the basic concept of building trust. Why did you write this book?
There has been this huge drop in trust in politics and journalism and business. And yet, you know, Wikipedia went from being kind of a joke to one of the few things people trust. And we've done it by being very trusting. And so what are the lessons we've learned? Like, how can we think about trust in the broader culture? How do we get back to a culture of trust? I mean, right now we're getting close to the world record for the longest government shutdown because the bipartisanship is just gone. And the ability to say, right, we need to get the budget out the door. We need to get this sorted. So we're going to have to make compromises on both sides. And instead of compromising or finding some agreement, talking, collaborating, they're just in a deadlock. You know, that's not great. It's, you know, like a lot of basic functions of government aren't working right now.
That's Wikipedia co-founder Jimmy Wales, author of the book, The 7 Rules of Trust, which comes out today. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Nova Safo, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.